Thank you, James. Thank you, Studio and guys, again. A different sound, wasn't it? Five singers. I don't think we've had that before, but it was great. Thank you. And part of it reminded me of the Globe on one of those songs. And I thought, oh, I'll have to sing that one again, but we've run out of time. But it was great. And it's good to see you all here. We're all set to go. Okay, so I'm going to be talking today, and we can't get off the Holy Spirit, can we? Don't want to get off the Holy Spirit. And so even today, we're having a little emphasis will come out of the role of the Holy Spirit. And I've called today's talk a special call. Somebody told me the other day, did you know it's the first Sunday in Advent? Well, I didn't know. And I don't know what the significance of that is either, but this is the third Sunday in Advent. I don't know what the significance of that is either, but I thought I'd let you know just so that we're getting into Christmas. And we've got one more Sunday to go, and then, of course, it is Christmas. So Christmas theme for today, I'm going to be looking at Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think that what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be very great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Just a little thought. Some of us were out yesterday giving out leaflets and offering prayer and stuff like that. And there are lots of people in Broad Street, and there's a whole lot of Hare Krishna guys doing their stuff and other things. And I think it was Paul came up to me and he said, they go along with Jesus too. And I said, there's a lot of religions that go along with Jesus. But most of them would fall short in this description. He will be great, the Son of the Most High God. His name will be Jesus. He is God and his kingdom's never going to end. They're happy to put Jesus on the same level of some of their gods. But I want to say today, Jesus is far above. Far above all other gods. And that's why we worship, and that's why we celebrate, and that's why some of us will be singing on the steps next week. Do come to that. I need a crowd. Singing on the steps next week, and some of us are in the town and doing the stuff that we're doing and wanting to make him known. So he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. And Mary asked the angel, "Well, how can this be? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail," or as the NIV puts it, and I prefer, "for nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. I don't know about you, but there's something exciting about the build-up to certain events. In fact, the build-up can make the event itself even more exciting and becomes almost like part of the event. I was thinking, for example, of the cup final. There's the interviews with players. There's the past players and the present players. There's the team hotel and the arrival of the team on their coaches. And, of course, the players in their suits. There's the fans in all their colours and the singing. And, of course, "Abide with Me" gets sung on the occasion. And none of that is the actual game. None of that determines the result. But it's all part of the build-up to 90 minutes of football when one of those team wins. And without that build-up, the cup final would just be like another football game that happens every week. But because of the excitement, the anticipation built into it, it becomes such a great occasion. Or maybe a wedding. So much to do, but as it comes together, excitement increases. Dresses are bought, honeymoons booked and planned, guests are invited, and you have to make those decisions, who's coming and who's not, and which part they're going to be invited to, and you're thinking about the reception, and you're planning, and you're imagining, and you're pulling it all together, and the best man's appointed, and the bridesmaids, etc., etc., etc. And then, of course, the big day comes. The planning and the preparation and the imagination that goes into it is part of the event. The stag party, the hen parties beforehand, they're all part of that event which comes on that particular day. And of course for us, Christmas. Lights begin to go on. I'm not sure if it's October now, but certainly November the lights are on. And Christmas trees get put up. When is it, Kerry and Paul? That must be November sometime in some people's homes. And there's the work parties, and there's the shopping and carol services and Christmas dinners, the decorations. It's a season, isn't it? Much more than a particular day. And some of us think, oh, it's Christmas Eve. I need to go and get my one and only present. And so we wander off on Christmas Eve to buy the wife the present that we've been thinking about and building up to and just trying to imagine what that's going to be like. And of course, for the children, or some children anyhow, there's Father Christmas. So is it right to say that here? I don't know. Some people don't. Some people do. And the stockings at the end of beds. And then the day itself arrives. But actually, it's all been part of a season of stuff, and all that went beforehand is part building up the excitement of the expectation. And I don't know what your Christmas day looks like, but for many of us this time, it's 10 o'clock down here, isn't it, on Christmas Day, ice skating for some possibly, and then there's a Christmas dinner, and some will listen to the Queen's speech, and no doubt Downton Abbey will do its feature later on, which I never watch, but that's always on, isn't it? And then it's like Christmas Day draws to a close, and well, that's finished for another year. But actually, the build-up is part of it, isn't it? Brings the excitement, brings the anticipation, brings the expectation. Well, here in Luke, we see preparations taking place for the most significant day, the promised arrival of the Messiah. Jesus, God with us. And I love the story. And I love the build-up. And the supernatural begins to break it in. And then everywhere there's supernatural signs and amazing things happening. And you have to remember, you see, for 400 years, heaven had been silent. There was nothing. Four centuries, no prophetic voice, no spiritual awakening. Four centuries of silence. The hopes of the Jews, and they would have to be persevering Jews, wouldn't they? But the hopes where they still had hope was based on prophecies given over 400 years earlier. Then suddenly, just as everybody was going about their normal daily routine, suddenly a fluttering of wings, a sound from heaven, and out of the blue, an angel appears, and he promises to an old priest that his old childless wife is going to have a baby. Can you imagine? Everything was normal. Nothing had changed year after year after year for 400 years, and all of a sudden, wow, an angel in the temple appears. And this baby is not any old baby. The angel says he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. This child is going to have a special purpose to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. Preparations for the first Christmas had started. Impossible, Zechariah thought. And unfortunately for him, he was struck dumb until the fulfillment when the baby was born. But God was on the move. The first sign of stirring, as I say, for 400 years. Light was breaking into darkness. Hope was on the horizon. And just as Gabriel had said, the old lady became pregnant for the first time in her life. Then 6 months later, another visitation. Gabriel again, twice in a year. And this time, not to an old man or an old woman, but to a young teenage girl. You too are going to have a baby. too is going to be very special. In fact, he's going to be called the Son of God. Oh, put yourself in Mary's. How do you respond to that? Seeing the angel would have been terrifying. So Gabriel says, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, it's okay. And then to be told you're going to have a baby, and you'd been a good girl. You'd not slept with your fiancé. She was still a virgin. And she just asks this simple question. Well, how can this be? Presumably it was asked not with doubt or unbelief. When Zechariah questioned, he was struck dumb. Presumably he had a negative, unbelieving attitude. You see, it's good to ask questions. No problem asking questions. But we need to ask questions with faith and expectancy, and like Mary, with a willingness to obey, even if it seems totally impossible. Because God had a special call for Mary, and I want to say he's got a special call for you too. So some of us might be thinking, how can this be? How can we possibly be effective in reaching the broken and the hurting around the pavilion? Yeah, I often just thank God for the location of this building, because I feel he's given us an entrustment to actually reach out to those with more than with love and kindness, but includes love and kindness, but with healing and deliverance and the Julies of the world. You know, lovely testimony, Julie, that many more will be able to come and say, once I was, but now I am, because we've been able to reach out to them. And sometimes the need seems so great. Sometimes it feels, how can we really help? How can we make a difference? Or maybe we think, how can we possibly play our part in seeing Reading, you know, not just impacted, but transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's the goal. That's the dream. Transformation. How can we possibly win souls and disciple them and develop them into a team of 12 who are going to continue the process of winning souls and discipleship? That's where transformation comes, by the way, as we disciple. How can we possibly see chains broken, see healing and wholeness released, and people set free to serve God, leaving the past behind and serving God because they've been totally set free? How could we possibly complete the renovation of this building here and then fill it up, not just once over a weekend, but maybe a number of times over the weekend? And we go on. How can we possibly see scores and hundreds of cells multiplying across Reading and Berkshire and beyond? It can all seem so much. How can it be, Lord? How can we be that light? How can we bring hope? How can we conquer for you and be witnesses for you? Do you understand? But don't ask those questions with unbelief. Don't ask those questions thinking, well, it can't happen. It's all wrong. Because actually the angel's answer to Mary, I believe, is the same answer for us. And this is what he said. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. How can these things be? How can Mary give birth to the Son of God? The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. That's how. The Holy Spirit is the answer, and he is the only answer. It was impossible for Mary to give birth to God's Son without the Holy Spirit, and it's impossible for us to fulfill the purposes that God has got for us without the Holy Spirit too. You see, Zechariah reminds us, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Thank God for buildings. Thank God for systems. Thank God for structures. Thank God for all the things that can help, but it's to facilitate a dream, God's dream. But behind it all, we need the power, the anointing, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to make it possible. I was thinking about this. You see, just as Mary was called and chosen for purpose, so have we been. And just as Mary's call was impossible in the natural, so is ours. And just as Mary's was a special call, I want you to know this, you have a special call too. You have been called and chosen to become a co-worker, to work with him in completing his purposes on this earth. If you look in Ephesians, the church is the center of God, what God's doing. Ephesians chapter 2 or 3, I think it is. The church is at the center, and we are part of that church. He's investing in the people of God to fulfill the purposes of God. What an incredible privilege which we have. But the same God who had plans for Mary has plans for us. And the key to seeing the release and fulfillment is to have the same response that Mary had. And this is what she said. How can this be? The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And look at her beautiful response. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. Church, I want you to hear that for you. May every dream God has given you, may every prophetic word that's been spoken over you, may every promise that you've received from him come true. Don't decide, I'm not worthy, it's impossible, it's beyond me, I have no idea how. We just need to say, I'm your servant, Lord. I'm your servant. May everything you've said about me come true. And it's called surrender. Total surrender. Whatever the cost, Lord, your will be done. I don't know how, but the answer is yes, Lord. It's yes. And for Mary, well, saying yes risked embarrassment, humiliation. She had to face Joseph, trying to persuade him that this bump which was appearing in her tummy, it was because of God and there's nobody else on the scene. Imagine Joseph struggling with that situation, but she had to go through that. Being prepared to actually lose Joseph, as she nearly did, it was an angel intervened and said, Joseph, it's God's in her. Take her. Look after her. Be a husband to her. Because he was about to just discard her quietly and discreetly. But she took the risk. She didn't know what the answer was going to be. She said, yes, yes, Lord. And she had to face the community, try to explain to the community that, well, God's spoken to me and this is God. And they're pointing fingers at her at that time and even her family. But she said yes. And that's the important thing, that we say yes. And when it's yes from the heart to God, anything can happen. Anything can happen. And as the angel reminded Mary, nothing, nothing is impossible with God. So church, I want to say, saying yes with faith releases the blessing of God on our lives. And when he blesses us, his blessing overflows. And as James regularly reminds us, we become a blessing to others too. Saying yes, there's a cost involved. Say yes with your eyes open, because there's a cost involved. It means radical change. It means a change of priorities. It means that I'm laying down my dreams and my vision. Now, the God may give them back again, but it's saying, Lord, I'm saying yes to you. I'm your servant. Whatever you want me to do from now on, I want that to be the focus and the primary goal of my life. It's a change of focus, but I want to remind you, it's all for the better. It's all for the better. Don't believe the lie of the devil. Oh, if you commit to being a Christian, your life is going to be so boring. Oh, if you commit to being a Christian, just imagine you can't do this, that, and the other. Don't believe the lie of the devil. And what I want to say is, don't say yes and don't say no. Don't be double-minded. Make a clear commitment. Lord, I'm for you. I'm for your purposes. Thank you for saving me for purpose. So many people in the world, they're wandering around today, wondering why they're here. Well, when you get saved, you know why you're here. Because God has a plan and a purpose for your life too. And part of that purpose is to produce fruit. And it's fruit that's going to go on forever. It's just amazing. You can have brilliant musicians, you can have brilliant orators, brilliant ministers and government people and businessmen. But unless they're the Lord's, when they die, everything just remains here. But you just need to be a road sweeper or a housewife or a pastor or a whatever. And the fruit that you're producing goes on forever because it has eternal value to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So So for Mary, possibly the highest privilege anyone could have, to physically bring the Son of God into the world. What a special call she had. Church, for us, an incredible privilege to spiritually bring the Son of God into the world. Here in Reading, we are his hands, his mouth, his feet. Here, we represent Jesus Christ. What an incredible honor. I love the scripture from Isaiah. For to us, to you, a child is born. To us, a son is given. He's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He'll reign on David's throne and over his kingdom from that time on and forevermore. He is the one we represent. For unto us a child is born, that we can make him known to a lost and needy world that need to hear. He is our message. That's why I said earlier on, he's not on par with any of Hare Krishna's gods. He's not in par with anybody else's gods. He is our message. He is the Savior of the world. He is the hope of the world. He is God. Come in flesh, and we worship and we honor him. He is our message. And the same Holy Spirit who came upon Mary wants to come upon us and to keep coming upon us. You say, Neville, we talked about this a few weeks ago. I'm talking to you about it again. Because he wants to keep coming. He doesn't want to just come a month ago or just at the healing encounter or on one of the other encounters. He wants to keep coming, to keep anointing afresh, to keep empowering, keep on enabling us to take him, this new life, this God's Son, out into the world and to make him known wherever we are, to share the gospel, to set people free, to show that he is the answer and he's our God and we love him. Hallelujah. I want to say, church, if you've responded to him before, why not recommit again this Christmas to him and say, Lord, I'm your servant. I commit again my life to you to fulfill your purpose for me. I get hold of those promises, those dreams, those prophecies, and I'm saying, Lord, your will be done. Come and have your way in my life. And if you haven't responded yet to the gospel, Christian message, I want to say he's here for you too. For to you a child has been born. He came to save. He came to die. That was the purpose of him coming. Our sin, it produced a big barrier between sinful man and a holy God. And there was separation. But God loved his people. God loved the human race. He so wanted to restore and reconcile and make it possible for us to have relationship with him through our sins forgiven and, in fact, through Jesus wiping them out. So Jesus came and he took all that bad stuff in our lives on him, died on our behalf, that it might be possible for us to receive mercy and restoration with God the Father. That's why he's the Savior of the world. That's why he came, that we might receive salvation. You see, good deeds will never save us. Good deeds are really, really important, but they're the fruit of salvation. Good deeds will never save us. The only way we can be saved is through faith and belief in the gospel message that Jesus came, Jesus died, he was rose again for our forgiveness, that we might be restored and reconciled to him. Jesus was born to save. Amen. Can we stand together? Let's pray together. Maybe you could repeat these words after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for coming. I thank you for dying on my behalf, dealing with all the sin in my life, that I might receive forgiveness and be restored to God. Come into my life now. Help me to turn away from my past. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And just before we sing our final song, I just want to give an opportunity. Is there anybody here that prayed that prayer and meant it for the first time today? And or is there anybody here who says, I want to recommit my life back to God? I want to be have that same attitude that Mary had and just say, Lord, I'm your servant. I want to respond to whatever plan you have for me. I surrender to you. So if you want to recommit or for the first time, you may just want to give your life to the Lord. Could you just put your hand in the air so I can see you? Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Well, there's one person that wants to recommit, and that's absolutely brilliant. And there may be others. You can make that between you and the Lord. If there's anybody that wants to know more about this message of salvation, please come to the front at the end of the service, and there'll be those around here which would love to share with you. And after we've sung this song, there will be a ministry team. They are a prayer team. They will be up at the front here. And I just invite you to come if you have any needs at all, any healing needs, any financial needs, relational needs, spiritual needs. We believe in the power of prayer. And so there's a team with